Okay, so we're continuing in the Kuntres Tovimoyeres. Last week we learned. First of all, let's go back actually before last week. Right? So his main yesod over here is that the ra in the world, the evil in the world, doesn't have a real true existence at all, and it's very important for us to get and reach that understanding. You know, obviously it doesn't mean just knowing it, just like hearing it, and just, you know, but coming to like internalizing that conceptualization that the evil in the world just doesn't exist. It's not something real. And by doing that, we empty out any ability, any klach that this parent ra has. Okay? And then last week he said that over the course of the galus, especially, right, when we were in Chutzaretz and we were downtrodden by the goyim, so we basically were in a state of, you know, fighting for survival. And we didn't have the ability at that point, especially in the place of Chutzaretz, especially where, which is the Mokum, like that's rochik from Kedusha, that what the Zohar says, the klipus, you know, a rampant there. So we weren't able to come to this level of realization, so to say, and therefore, for most of the time, the hayra, the public instruction was to adaraba, to focus on, like, pump yourself up for the war against the Yetzirah, the war against the Satan, so that basically you were focused on, like, you got to always be on your toes because otherwise he's going to get you. So really, psychologically, that pushes into the person how big the Yetzirah is, how strong the Yetzirah is, which is counterproductive ultimately, as far as the Mahalach that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe has been discussing. Nevertheless, he said that was the only way that was really possible under the circumstances, to get to the purity of Kavana, the purity of Machshava, to realize that there's really no essence to the Ra at all. That takes Avir Deretz Yisrael, it takes the special, you know, a certain mindset, a certain psychological, emotional state of the people, and we weren't holding there during the Gaulus. So, therefore, the focus was, rather than being mevatel and turning that ra into nothingness, was rather to subdue the ra, to overcome the ra, which, yes, it has a negative side effect in the sense that you're giving kolach to the ra, but on the other hand, it was worth it. The kavanas halev, the pure kavanas halev of Klal Yisrael in using this mahalach in order to overcome that yitzhara, so that protected them, you know, so that it was basically the benefits were greater than the losses. You know, the benefit was greater than the danger that was involved. But now that we got back to Eretz Yisrael, and there's a Ketza Magula, and there's like a new era ushering in, so the story is different. And now we dafka have to focus on preparing ourselves to be mevatel the Ra, to completely become freed up the Ra by realizing its complete utter nothingness. So now this is where we're up to. Me'ata bo cheshbon. So now let's make a calculation. Yeah, let's figure this out. Right, like the phrase from the Gemara. Let us calculate the cheshbon, the calculation of the world. It's a very important cheshbon we have to make here. That's the big question, which we mentioned already at the beginning. How can we pave before us the way in the sea, right, that we're going, to deny what the sense sees? Our eyes see evil. There's such bad out there. You see the bad. So what, we're going to fool ourselves? Like, we're going to become like drunk, so to say? You know, we're going to like... Who are you kidding? Godel efkerus biyad ramav ribui prikas oil. Right, the tremendous hefkerus with the you know the chutzpidik hand, right, the rishon and the prikas oil, the people that are throwing off the Torah and fighting against the Torah. Yeah, efshar. It's impossible. Yeah, we can't deny what we see clearly with our eyes. Avol gam li, I think, right, is the word gam over here? By me it's rubbed out. Gam? Yeah? That's what it says there?
Gam.
Gas? Mm-hmm. No, not gas.
Gam. Okay. Gavol gam li tchashev be'ele. Ki ilu yesh lamo metzius chiyuvi akopano nesho gam ken yifshar. But on the other hand, to consider as if there is a real metzius, metziut chiyuvi means a real metzius, even momentarily, at least momentarily, to the evil, that's also impossible. Like he's been saying till now. So we're in a big bind. Yeah. We're in a very big bind. V'lo yitachen. And it's also impossible. It's impossible for us to do such a thing. Because by attributing to the Ra some sort of metzius chiyuvi, even if it's only a temporary story, right? Even if we're just thinking, okay, yeah, it's true. Ultimately, the evil will be eradicated from the world. It doesn't have any true long-time essence to it. But at least it's a temporary situation. Yeah, it's a temporary metzius. That's also incorrect. That makes the sakana greater. That makes the danger greater. Ubamen itkonen likrata atid levatel etara v'leafso legamri. So how are we going to prepare ourselves for the future to nullify the evil v'leafso legamri and to empty it completely leman nuchal gamato litoy mitam etzachayim me'ino ilam habo. That we will be able now as well to taste from the taste of the tree of life, which is Me'ein Olam Haba, similar to Olam Haba, Alma Dechiru, Alma Deyevla. These are Kabbalistic words. The world of freedom, the world of Yovel, right? Because Yovel is the 50th year, which, like the Ramban you see on the Torah, right, indicates it has to do with the Yemei Mashiach. Hachayzeres v'shove eleinu al yidei achzaras bonim legvulam. That comes back to us, coming back to us. This, like, this special world, right, is like coming back to us by virtue of the children who are returning to their borders, meaning Klal Yisrael is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, like Shivel Aretzeinu. Klal Yisrael, you see, the Jewish people are returning to our land. Liyos Kol Yishvei Aleha. Right, the old inhabitants will be on it. Dome Ani. It appears to me, Ki Im Nenase Atzmeinu. If we will try ourselves, l'sim ozen kashevet, to put a listening ear, l'masha or Hashem achadu b'nishmoteinu malachesh aleinu, to what the light of Hashem that's inside of us, inside of our neshamas, is whispering to us, and I've spoken about this in the past, right? That there's a certain natural state of the Jewish person, of a Yid, that if he kind of, like, you know, manages to quiet the noise, he'll hear the Rabban Shalom speaking from inside, because we have a neshama, and the neshama is the Or Hashem, and there's a message, there's a pounding away, but the Rabban Shalom, there's a certain natural Shmias Koyel Hashem.
Noach called the Jewish consciousness.
Jewish consciousness, okay, yeah.
Consciousness.
Yeah. So if we're going to do that, Ozni v'kach ladat, as Rabbi Akumash says, it seems to me that if we're going to pay attention, listen carefully to what the light of Hashem inside of our neshama is whispering to us, Ozni v'kach ladat, then we will realize ki ein derech acheret, that there's no other way zulat litmaser b'msira ne'mana tiv'it v'ra'anana b'yiras Hashem tohoiro u'b'kdushas boso v'ruach. There's no other way than to devote ourselves with a believing, natural, and fresh devotion, with pure Yiras Hashem, ubikdushas basav ruach, and with the holiness of flesh and spirit. He's throwing in the kedushas basav because he's trying to show you that the physical life as well has a natural kedusha to it. There's a natural Yiras Hashem that we're supposed to have regarding physicality as well. Gam barchavas, and there, by the way, this is discussed in other places, in his writings, Rav Kook's writings, and the famous Ketam Sefer that says such a vart in Masechta Sukkah, that the Kedushas Basar wasn't really relevant in Chutz Laaretz. Because in Chutz Laaretz, again, it's just fighting for survival. First of all, on the technical side, it's just, we generally, until this door, this is like a unique door that we're living in, but until this door, there was, generally speaking, the Jewish people living in poverty, and we're for the most part, yeah, with some exceptions, and maybe in some Arab countries, whatever, but for the most part, the physical situation of a Yid wasn't so flattering. And therefore, it also didn't pull so much. There wasn't such a pull, and people therefore had more of a spirituality to them, even if they weren't necessarily Talmidei Chachamim, but they had a certain connection with Hashem, a certain tamimus to them, a certain simplicity, a certain beauty of Yiras Hashem, of Yiras Shamayim that they had, and they just weren't pulled. That was actually what the Haskalah movement really punctured. Right, was that innocence, and that really opened up the can of worms where people started looking outside. Until then, they weren't really looking outside because it wasn't even an option so much. So, the Renaissance, which then brought to the Haskalah movement,
which caused people to start looking outside, and Haskalah gave an answer for the people looking outside.
Yeah, okay.
So. Yeah, but the Yidden of the Haskalah started.
Yeah. It became an option for the Jewish people, like they looked at it as an option based from the Haskalah. You know, they were the first one that formalized the possible going out, and giving a mahalach to it.
I actually just saw recently that in certain countries, the reason why the Haskalah took much longer lutfos was because the society there didn't have such a, like Russia, for example, took much later because Russia itself wasn't so, it took
as advanced,
it wasn't as advanced as the Western European countries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you see that we came from.
In any case, so that's on the technical side of it. But on the ruchnistic side, on the spiritual thing side of things, again, Eretz Ha'amim, right, the land of the nations, Chutz Laaretz, the Zohar says, is a place where the klipos are shelters. That's where the klipos are rampant. They kind of, like, so to say, have control, meaning that it's distance from Kedusha. And Memela, the divide between body and soul is much, much greater. That's really the essence of being distanced from Kedusha. That's really what the Klippas do. It divides between the body and the soul. So that it was just a constant fight to keep your neshama holy, right? To keep the different levels of your neshama holy. And the body was treated, that was the extent of what you could expect in the avodah of Chutz Laaretz, was that your neshama should overpower the body and control it. But in Eretz Yisrael, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, for example, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, right? Lehanoscha L'teivoscha, Rashi says, for your benefit and for your good, and he understands that to mean also for your physical benefit, for your pleasure, so to say. For like there in Eretz Yisrael, the body is supposed to become integrated into the Kedushas Yisrael, which is the whole idea of Bris Milah, right? Is that the most physical, right? That's the part of the body which is like the most physical, also is the Chosim Bris. It's the Chosim Bris between us and the Rabbi Shalom. It's in the Schos of the Bris Milah that we get Eretz Yisrael, as the Pasuk describes. So that the connection between the Kedushas HaGuf and Eretz Yisrael is a one-to-one connection. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not really shaykh to get to that Shleimus where the Guf is going to become elevated to a level of holiness. Of course, the mitzvahs, the whole idea of the mitzvahs is that is to do that, is to give a certain purity and kedusha to the guf. But nevertheless, it's not, there's a very big difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlars in that respect. So that in Eretz Yisrael, the Indian of the kedushas basar, the way Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, becomes applicable, becomes shaykh. And it's a whole other darga of Avodas Hashem. And that's really part of what he's getting to over here. Oh, the Chassam Sofer.
I actually have it written down because I wanted to see it for myself.
In some of the Chassam Sofers,
it's been deleted. Yeah, some people have.
No, because the Chassam Sofer says there in Eretz Yisrael, anything you do is a mitzvah.
Okay, one second.
Even if you build, even if you work as a lawyer, anything you do in Eretz Yisrael.
Well, he doesn't talk about a lawyer, but yeah.
He doesn't say lawyer, but he says examples. I think he says examples. Anything you do is a mitzvah, because you're helping with. Because in Chutzlars, we're doing it just to survive. In Eretz Yisrael, we're doing it because that's.
Alright, one second. You go. You're just skipping over here before.
Mimalev. I knew this
was very fast.
Daf Mimalev. The Imabon Smecha brought it down, so I had to see it for myself. So, like, I pretty sure it's Mimalev, Inami, the Ramask Inami.
Yeah, it's on Daf Lamed Vov. That's what I thought it was. Daf Lamed Vov, Amar Aleph. It's on Membeis page Membeis. Okay. So, on the Gemara that talks about Esrog Doimel Lakushi, right? Esrog that's Doimel Lakushi. It's like a black color. So he says, Shamati Mimoyu V'Rabbi Haflo Zatzal. I heard from my Rebbe the Haflo. Bahad the Pligi Reb Shimon Bayechoy. Rabbi Shmuel, Reish Perakatim of Aruchid, right? The famous machlekes between Rabbi Shimon Yechai and Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara Brachos, right? Rabbi Shmuel says that, you know, a person has to be Zareah at the time of Zriya, has to be Kaitzer, but you work the land and you do, you know, and then in your spare time you learn. Right? Rabbi Shimon Yechai comes along and says, well, if a guy's going to sow the land when he's got to sow, he's going to harvest when he has to harvest, there's not going to be any time for learning left. You're finished. Right, the famous Machlokes, and the Gemara, of course, says, "Harbe also Rav Shimon Yochai, v'lo also be Adam." Many people did like Rav Shimon Yochai, and it didn't work out. Didn't work out. They devoted themselves to full-time learning, no work. Didn't go. Amar Uzal, so that flaw said, "She also kir Rav Shimon Yochai, v'lo Rav Shimon Yochai mamish." The problem was that they did like Rav Shimon Yochai, but didn't do Rav Shimon Yochai mamish. Devade mishikavon nasi l'shem Hashem. For sure, somebody who's really devoted to the Rebbeinu Shalom, his whole kavanah is really, really for Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows the inside thoughts of the person, right, and the inside kavanahs of the person, for sure he's going to be matzliach. Elohim also kirib shim b'yichoy nidmu lo v'lo be'etzem tochniusam alken lo el tabi adam. They just didn't like Rav Shimon Yochai. They wanted to look like that. They wanted to look like, yeah, I'm a full-time learner. I'm a full-time, right? But it wasn't be'etzem. They weren't holding really with the same kavanah of Shimon Yochai. They wanted to look good. Yeah, they wanted to have that reputation. They wanted to have that stance at Tzibur. V'oman, he said, "Hayinu d'kamri hocha Esrog Gakushi." So that's what it says over here. That's what Esrog Gakushi is. Hainu hatzadik hameshune b'maisav kikushi hameshune b'oiroi hu kasha. That is, an esrog kushi is the tzadik who's different. Right? The kushi is the idea of kushi is that it's different. Meshune b'maisav is different in his deeds. So if he's different in his deeds, like a kushi who's different in his skin, so hu kasha? That's kasher. An esrog kushi is kasher. Ach doy milakushi, but the esrog that's only doy milakushi. Similar to the Kushi, who wants to compare himself to Rishon Yochai, but he's not really there. Zeh posel. That's posel. Ki lo yalso biyode. Ad kan divrei Rav v'divrei pichachim chen. Mikan ve'elech tosef es divrei talmidei ha'po'ut kamoini. And he says, here I'm going to add something. The Chassam Sofer says, Nila nizdaiti. Rabbi Shmuel nami loy omar mikro va'asafta digonecho ela be'eretz Yisrael. I think, says Rabbi Shmuel, who said you got to work the land, right, from the pasuk va'asafta digonecho, he only said that in Eretz Yisrael. V'rav Yisrael shruim, when Rav Yisrael are in Eretz Yisrael. Sha'avoyde bekarka gufa mitzvah mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's mashma from the Chassam Soif is lost in that he holds that when there's not a roiv, so there's not going to be a mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's the mashmos. I don't know, whatever, to look into that. But in any case, says, but so when you're in Eretz Yisrael, so the avoyde in the land itself is a mitzvah because of mitzvahs yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Uloitzi peyrseh kedoshim. And in order to get the land to produce its holy peiros. Derech Agav, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in Moruk Tzir, if I remember correctly, that the peiros of Eretz Yisrael are misifim chachma. They're misif chachma. So if you want to, like, you know, help out your chachma, you should eat peiros Eretz Yisrael, not from Chutzar. It's okay. V'alzeh tzivsa ha-teira. And this the Torah commanded, v'asafta digoncho. U'boya zoyer goyer nasoyer malayla misho mitzvah. Boaz, right, was Zaira the Garin, he was the Tzaddik, and Tzaddik Ador, and he was working. He worked the field because it was a mitzvah. Ke'ilu toimah lo'yaniach tefillim p'nei sh'ani yasik v'Torah. So then it would become like, as if you're going to say, what, I'm not going to work the land because I'm learning Torah. That's like a guy saying, I'm not going to put on tefillin because I'm working the land. Unbelievable dimyon. Unbelievable that he draws a parallel between the two. Who would think, right? And Eretz Yisrael, I'm not working the land, I've learned full time. It's like a guy saying, I'm not going to put on tefillin, because I'm safer, not me. I'm not going to put on tefillin because I'm busy learning. So too, a person can't say, I'm not going to collect, I'm not going to gather together the dagon from the field, because I'm learning. The efshir, now, then the some sefer adds to it, efshir, it could be, afilu shar umniyos, sheyesh bem yishuv ha'olam. Even other crafts and skills, not just working the land, which comes straight out of the pasuk. It could be this extends to other fields that of profession that help Yishuv HaOlam. Hakol b'chal mitzvah. It's all included in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Avuk she'anu mefuzarim b'avinu sein rabin beinu masa olam. And when we are scattered due to our sins amongst the goyim, and the more we increase in the world, Yishuv, the better we make things around the world, the more of a churban it makes in Avodas Hashem. Because in the Goyish world, they take everything and they use it for bad. Right? So it's just bring a churban Avodas Hashem. Then Rabbi Shmuel would be Maidah Rabbi Shmuel Chai, sit and learn. And on that we are soimich on Rav Neroi at the end of Kedushin. I leave all the skills and all the professions in the world. I'm not doing any of them, not doing anything for my parnasa. I only will teach my son Torah. That's in Chutz Laaretz, that's what he says. It's very funny. It comes out from this Chassam Sefer. It's like a very big Ichped Mistabra. In Eretz Yisrael, the official line is, you know, that you can't, you got to sit in Kail, you can't go out to work. In Chutz Laaretz, you have much more that even.
The way that he writes it, Moisef Churban, it's Shat and Moisef Churban is the way that you explain it, because it's used for their own purposes.
Yeah.
And it could apply to them in Israel as well, it's a second mistake.
Yeah, maybe.
Moisef Churban means that it's.
No, but it's not so mistabe. It's not so mistabe because
you explained that Moshe Churban means to say that the goyim will use it for the right thing.
Not definitely only goyim, but
it could be that Moshe Churban just means to say that you're doing the antithesis of Yeshua Yisrael.
Okay, I'm just. First of all, I'm just making it as I'm just saying it's amusing.
What's
everyone saying? But two things. First of all, most things, right? If you're working, certainly when you work, there are many, many jobs and stuff that you're working, you're really working within your community. So, you know, if you're a store and you're selling shoes, let's say, to the people in your community, so clearly that's not nagea to that taina. You know, even a person that's a lawyer, you know, many, what's that?
Taxes go to the country.
That's already very shvara.
Then in Chutzlarts, it's never permanent. We're always going to move around. So what are you doing already? You're building and building and building. It's anyway not going to stay forever.
He says
the reason why everyone didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael is because they have their palaces here, they have their stores here, they have everything here. He goes, well, what's the word?
Right, Churin means to say that you're being
No, because Moisef Churin means the more you're building here, the more Churin's going to be, the more there's there to be destroyed.
Anyway, so the Chassam Sofer just ends off, V'hayinu the Mechadish Rav be'Esr Gakushi, and that's what Rav is Mechadish here in the Gemara Sukkah over there by Esr Gakushi. Afilu einu nidme el Akushi Mamish. Even if it's not nidba, but it's a kushi mamash, dainu Rashbi v'chaveir v'amitiyim, the real McCoy, right? The real Rashbi and his friends. Mikol makam halon v'halohu l'bnei Bavel kasha l'bnei Eretz Yisrael apostle. So there's a difference here between the b'nei Bavel and b'nei Eretz Yisrael. B'nei Bavel is going to be kasha, b'nei Eretz Yisrael is going to be apostle, because the being in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Ayidei Yisrael. Because here in Israel, we need the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Ayidei Yisrael. So don't be like a Shem Be'echai. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no room to be like a Shem Be'echai. Anyway. Under the Roman oppression. So, yeah. But in any case, the Maisa for Inya Neinu, I'm just saying the Yesod you see from the Chassam Sofer, and there's other places for this Yesod, is that the Inyan of where the Gashmias becomes Mamisha Mitzvah, right? Where you're a Mashke, you're investing in the Gashmias, and that's part of the Kedushas HaBasar. That's what we're calling Kedushas HaBasar. That the physicality in Eretz Yisrael has ruchnius to it and is kedusha there. It's a part of it.
Avodas Hashem.
Okay, anachanami. That's
the Bachrites in Hilchos Mitzvachot Nein Shalosh.
Yeah.
That's what it says. I'm out of the Aretz. It's two stages. It's like because the kedusha went out of the Aretz, and the Meiru was no longer the kedusha of Paris. Kind of thing. And then the Tumah came into Klal Yisrael. It was two stages. So in the Galut,
Clearly, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, that's what he's saying over here, is he's learning that once you see that Klal Yisrael has now started, you know, streaming back, and forget about it. Since then, we're way past the numbers that he was. But now that you see the Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael's Maisa is the most major center of Jews today, so he held that's clearly that this is already. We're holding here with the real Eretz Yisrael, with all the repercussions of what that means as far as changing our avodah, you know, changing the emphasis of our avodah vis-a-vis what we're talking about over here in this maamar. I'll tell you something else that's interesting, you know, just because it also relates to this, the same yisoid over here. Let's see if I can find it. In Chelek Vav of Meimaroim is Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's Torah's Mamorim on Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, and the Geula. Okay, so this is an interesting thing that he writes in Perek, in the Shaar in Eretz Yisrael, Perek Lamed Vav. He talks about the Avira de Eretz Yisrael. So, Stam, first of all, it says two interesting things that he says. And this is one sentence out of the paragraph, but he says, V'ilu yadu anshe chutzlaretz, if the people of chutzlaretz would know, noyam kedushas Avira de Eretz Yisrael, the sweetness, the pleasantness, of the kedusha of Avir Deres Yisrael, haya kedai lehem, it would be worth it for them. Lahafkir is kol nichseim, to be mafkir everything they own, viskeim and their businesses, vilavoy leretz Yisrael b'mesirus nefesh, and to come to Eretz Yisrael b'mesirus nefesh. That's hel geshmak. The Avir Deres Yisrael is the kedusha of Avir Deres Yisrael. If they really chapped what it is, this is what they would do. Now, next thing he says, Misha einu mamin b'mamoshus pu'ulas avir d'Eretz Yisrael. This is in Perek Lamed Vav. Somebody who does not believe in the realness of the effect that avir d'Eretz Yisrael has, gam bizman hazeh, today as well. Now, he's relating specifically to that. So, in Derech Agav, I was mitzayin that the Ramak also says like this in his Bir on Zohar. V'toyle masha amru avir d'Eretz Yisrael mechmachkim. And he ties what Chazal say that Eretz Yisrael brings chachma to a person. He ties it b'derech helem. It's in a concealed way. Okay, ain't me the schoolit. It's like a schoola type of thing. You know, it's not. You know, it's not to be taken literal. It's like some kind of concealed thing. Whatever. We don't really have a shaykh to it. Ain't margish be'emes be'mamoshos avir hakodesh hazeh. Somebody doesn't believe it, he will not be able to feel the actuality of this holy air. And only through the emuna is the argasha able to come to a person. In other words, the emuna opens up the ability for the person to feel it. Without that emuna, the person pasha doesn't have the ability to tap into it. So
why not?
Lamaisa, probably this is true about everything in ruchnis. Like only when the person, right? I think that's also why Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is the first mitzvah in the Torah. I am Hashem your God. That's the mitzvah of emunah, because the mitzvah of emunah is like, you know, tzadik b'menosa yichya. That's where all the chios, all the ruchnis is able to flow down and flow into the person. It's like the gateway. It's the gateway that allows, you know, the ruchnis to come into the person. Otherwise, it's closed. I think the emunah is pashut a gateway for a person to the olam haruchni. If a person doesn't have that, he's enoch adam. He's just not going to feel anything. I've had this. Yeah, so a person could always, you know, make that.
Anytime you have to be inside
in order to experience it. Yeah, so people could always, you know, make that argument, but we hold that that's not true over here. You know, it's not. I'll tell you an interesting story. I asked that question. This past year, I did I gave a shir to a group of Australian students, not religious. They were here for 2 weeks or something like that to learn. So I started off I gave them two times I met them. So the first time I said to them, like, how does it feel to be here in Eretz Yisrael? Have you been here before? Then I asked them the question. I just wanted to get the wheels rolling, like the minds working. I said, so do you feel different in Eretz Yisrael than you feel anywhere else? They're not religious, right? So they said, yeah, everybody, literally, pe'achas, all of them, each and every one said, oh yeah, it's a very different feeling here. It's unbelievable, you know, this and that, whatever. Filled with praises for Eretz Yisrael. It's completely different than any other place in the world. I asked, have you gone to other places in the world? So yeah, we've traveled, yeah. This place is unique. So I said, do you think, what's special about it? Is it the people here, you think? Or do you think there's something in the air? It's like something spirit, like just like the place is just different? What? Or I said, maybe it's just psychological, because you know you're Jews, and you know this is like your homeland, and you have a tradition. Maybe psychologically you feel different because you know you're supposed to feel different. It's like sentimental, right? So then some people are saying, you know, maybe that's true. It got a little bit of discussion on that. The idea wasn't, I didn't speak on that. That wasn't my idea. I just, that was like an opening, an opener. So I had an interesting experience now when I was on the way to the States in February. I sat next to, we sat, I mean, we had those, you know, row of threes, those empty space in between us. And the guy next to me, you know, on the other side of that empty seat, was a guy, maybe I won't give full pratim, just who knows, whatever, but it was a guy whose mother was Jewish and father from Christian. His father was not Jewish. And he had just been on a birthright trip over here, you know, was free, you know, and he was actually already past the 35-year-old age, but he had signed up in time, so let him on, fine. And he was very, very emotionally moved on the trip here in Eretz Yisrael. And he said to me, he said, like, this, and he actually ended up staying another 2 or 3 weeks, I don't remember which one, with a few more people that he met on that Birthright group, you know, because he wanted to get more of being here. And he said to me that, you know, he got very emotional by the Kotel. And another, some other places, he got very emotional. He said, I don't even know what hit me. I don't. He had no background whatsoever. He wasn't taught. He didn't. There's not a guy who was known or thought. He said to me, I'm much more connected to my Christian family than I am my Jew. I don't have any connection to the Jewish family because they cut off his mother when she intermarried. So I found it very interesting. I said to him, like, did you ever feel like emotional, spiritual uplifting? He said it was like a spiritual uplifting. He said, did you ever feel that at the Christian side? So I asked him, you visit Christian side? He said, yeah. It's like, it's nothing. I feel zero. Here, it just complete, and it took him by surprise. He wasn't ready for it. That's an indication, you know, a real big indication of, yeah, it's not a necessarily psychological thing. This guy had no at all Jewish background of any sort before this trip, you know, and like, he just had a big asiris from it, whereas he did not have that in the Christian places, you know, which were, he was actually felt more connected to. So anyway, so I certainly, we can't scientifically prove any of this stuff, and at this point we'll have to always come back to the Torah and the Muna, but that's the
if you believe it, you'll feel it.
Yeah, the Pasha is Rav Zussman.
Believe in America.
Rav Zussman Zatzal. It's a big makubal. He was one of the big talmidim of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap. He said, I think that he heard from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe that everything he writes, he has makaris for. He didn't reveal his sources. He said, like, everything that he writes, he always has a source for. And I'll be the Mionif to understand the idea of Amunah, that it makes sense.
I'm saying to feel the Mamush. In order to feel something, you have to have Amunah for it. The problem is that if that's true, so then when you're coming with something which you don't necessarily have the chorus, like most of the things in Amunah, straight through thing, and you're saying a certain Akudah, but you have to believe it to feel it. So the Bresa was telling the same thing about woman. And each person tells you their thing about their thing that they believe in. There's no way to be shofeted because you either believe it or you don't believe it. That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, we're not here to prove, disprove, or whatever it is.
The same thing if it's starting from the Kodah Rimuna. Start from Rimuna, it needs like everything else in Rimuna.
Yeah, but so here we're talking about the Muna and Divrei Chazal. That's Avi Deretz Yom Achim is a Chazal. Okay, so getting back to, okay, it's a little bit late already. All right, where do we get up to? Let's just try to get a little bit further here. Gambar Chovas, so he's still in the middle. So we have no choice. We're going to see that there's no other choice but to become dedicated with this, like, natural, fresh believing, right? Yiras Hashem Tahira and the Kedushas Basar Varuach and the holiness of the flesh and spirit. Gam Barchovas Ginze Machmade Sisri Teresenu Akdoisha. Also, in expanding the hidden, concealed treasures of the secrets of our holy Torah. Bachshara nechoyna, with proper preparation, lishov me'amayim zakim v'tahorim, to draw from them pure and tahor waters, nahare nachle adanim, beautiful running well springs, lahakif lahavin behem es kol yitzur, to surround and encompass, right, and to understand with them the whole creation, v'chol ha'nasebay, and everything that's done in this creation, v'asher be'emes ha'arosha al zeh enen echadosha, that truthfully, to scream out about this is not something new. U'me'oz u'me'olam tzavcha zeh g'doy l'k'doy she'atoyris, for already, you know, going back, the great holy tzaddikim of the generations called out, Bekol Ram Choytsev Lavazesh, with a booming voice that was, you know, carving out, getting people like filled with flames of fire. Lahazir al Choyv Limudim, they would warn about the obligation of learning Sisrei Torah, of learning the secrets of the Torah. Vishal Yodam Yaf Yifkun Min Galusa, and that through learning the secrets of the Torah, the Zohar and right Kisvei Kabbalah, the Klal Yisrael is going to be taken out of the Galus. The Gra and Evan Shlomo mentioned, right, says that Geula is going to be Tali and Limud Kabbalah. Vispachum mi Yitzahara, and it's b'schus that they're going to be compotter from the Yitzahara. L'fishal Yedei Achavas Eila Limudim Akdeishim Api Atnei Manizkar, because through the widening, expanding these learnings, these holy learnings, I'll pivot time. Miss Alam Lamed Al Soid Kalara, we become elevated to understand the secret of all evil. Olakhidam Dafkali De Mashalo Yitnu Lem Shumit Stairucha Matsius Aflozmani. And to destroy them, to destroy the Ra, Dafka, through this, that we will not give them any picture of Matsius, even of temporary Matsius. Because through the secrets of the Torah, we're able to get a fuller understanding of all the spiritual mahalchim, right? All the spiritual processes that allow us to recognize the way things really are. That really, there's nothing. Anything that's opposite to Kedusha and good has no Metzius, has no essential Metzius to it. V'leslu megarmaya klum. That's a Kabbalistic expression for the Zohar, that has nothing to it. V'eina melet slalim kalim shel Kedusha. And all that the Ra is are vague shadows of the Kedusha, of the holiness. Shedarush rak lefazram. That all you need to do is just, like clouds, right? All you need to do is just scatter them, and to add to them light, and so that the aims or purposes or the things, issues of Ra that you see, that they're just shadows of the Kedusha, all they are for us are just simanim, they're signs, they're indicators to us what we need to do as far as the good goes, as far as the Kedusha goes. And as soon as we come to this realization, we peel away their exterior, and we drive away their shadows, and then automatically it becomes recognizable and clear their nothingness. And the kolam nechratzim na'olim, and then they're just destroyed completely from the world. And through this holy work of revealing the magamos of kedusha, which are like aims of kedusha and like jobs, so to say, of kedusha, that through this work, the external husks are like cut away. We escape now all pressure. We already have no relationship, so to say, with the Ra. We give it nothing. And we won't be turning to the Ra at all. We'll have no leaning towards it. Not only that, but we're not going to even be giving it any kind of seer of any Metzius. Afle l'sha, not even a temporary one. More than that, we discover what's really good about these shadows. That, right, the ta'elis that this, what we call Ra, right, the ta'elis that it brings, which is in order to give something additional, in order to add to the Kedusha, the way sediment does to wine. Right, that's the mashal that's in Chazal. She a naut yoter lekabla, that it'll be easier to be makabel v'nishlalim b'zeh legamri, to be makabel the kedusha v'nishlalim b'zeh legamri komatzius mitzadam ara, and in this way the whole mitzvahs of their like evil side, yeah, becomes negated and rejected. And the strength of the kedusha just keeps going greater and greater. So basically, he's saying that the only way to get out of that pickle that we have, which is, on the one hand, we can't deny what we're seeing. On the other hand, we can't give any real existence, legitimate existence, to the ra, even in our mind. The only way out of this is really, first of all, by tapping into what our neshama is calling out, which is this, like, you know, this kind of natural kedusha, kedusha's basa v'ruach, to attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But together with that, and they really go hand in hand, is to learn the Seydis HaTorah, to Sisrei Torah Seinei HaKadoshah, in the proper way. Because through the Sisrei Torah, there's a mahalach, through understanding the way the Ribbono Shel Olam, the intricacies of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up this world, on that deep level, you get a clarkeit, you get a certain clarity of how, of what the Ra is. The Ra isn't anything of its own, but rather just a shadow that indicates what needs to be done in the good. Indicates, they act as simonim for what your avodah needs to be. Now this is obviously, you know, he stayed over here on a very, very general level still. He doesn't really bring it down, so, you know, further. We'll continue on in the Maamar, but I've actually mentioned many different instances. But if you look at what we would call kind of the, no offense to anyone, but the evil or the bad philosophies, let's say, or the bad. Things that are current processes that we find in our world today, if you go through them, each one indicates where the world is going for the good. Yeah, there's, like, for example, one of the ones that's very clear, for example, is like the whole idea of the women's lib movement, okay, which l'chayra flies in the face of Torah, and that's why it becomes like a shorsha nagach of like being negeh the Torah all the time. But the truth of the matter is that we know al pi Kabbalah, again, that in the future, right, we know that the world started with the moon and the sun and the moon were equal. And the sun and the moon is the masculine and the feminine. They were equal at the beginning. But then the moon complained. So Geshbaba said, okay, diminish yourself. Minimize it, right? Make yourself small. And that created the situation for the whole you know, existence of mankind, because this already took place, you know, in the cosmos before man is in the world. It created the situation where the masculine is always looked at as on top of the feminine, because it's mashpia, and the feminine is makabel, right? She receives. But loss of love, he says Chazal already, and the Sifrinus, that Rizal discusses it, so is that eventually the sun, the moon is going to become full size once again, meaning will have its own light. That's really what it means, right? And it's going to be equal to the sun, so that they're going to be shtayim shebekasrecha. They're both going to be in that rulership position, meaning what? Equality, right? So that we're here at a time of Bein Hashmashos, like the Mashal says, that when we're at the end of the Golos and the light of the Geula starts to shine into our time period. So now we have a mix of the old and a mix of the new, and it creates a terrible confusion. And you know that in twilight, and like Bein Hashmashos, is the hardest time to drive. It's the most difficult time to see, because you see things, you think you see something, and it's really not there, or you don't see anything. It blurs the vision terribly. So,
And the lights don't help,
right? And that's exactly what happens. So that now we have this like aura of equality that's ushering into this world, into our time period, like never ever before. But at the same time, we're not yet there. And dafka, by pushing it when it's not yet time, it causes a kilkel. It causes, it messes things up. And if anything, it delays the time of that tikkun, of that rectification, is going to supposed to take place. It's actually holding back
there's
what
no
they're trying to get to.
There's no other way that people.
No, the idea is we're supposed to receive that art. We're supposed to realize what it is, and we're supposed to be misgaber in what we're doing with that understanding that this is where we're headed. There's many tofalt. If you want to take internet, for example, right? Internet's the worst enemy of mankind. It's the worst enemy. You know, even the guy, you know, realized, you know, psychologically that the world is coming to an end through the internet, and religiously, it's the worst thing. We haven't had any right. It's all the schmutz at the doorstep, etc., etc. What is the internet? The internet is the biggest ma'ached that there's been in the world, right? The world has become a tiny place through the internet. What, you know, you drop, you, something happens here and it's immediately all over the world. So it's a mode of tremendous unity, which is exactly what the Geula is going to be about. Is going to be this level of oneness where the message is going to go around the world. So ultimately the internet, which looks like the biggest beast, is really the shadow of the Kedusha, like Rabbi Yaakov Meir is saying. It's an indicator to us where we're headed. It's an indicator what we should be focusing on now, which is we should be focusing on getting to the idea of Yichud Hashem, of understanding the unity of the Kedushas HaBasa and Kedushas HaRuach together. Of course, I'll be with the pretenses of Halacha, only through that, only through his limitations and the, so to say, the Perud that Halacha gives to us that separates between the good and the bad halachically, only through that we're able to then get to the kulay toiv, to realize how everything is really toiv, and there is really no ra. Only by it's the paradox over here. It's by being shomer the gvulos, by guarding the differentiation, by guarding the borders. We get outside of the borders and bring everything together into that oneness that really deep down everybody is aiming for. Even these people that have these crazy philosophies that we look at as like totally off the wall. Yeah, I don't want to get too many. It's already late, but all the liberal movement also has tremendous. If you look at it, it's that in depth has tremendous ideals in it. It's just it's messed up in the fuller picture of where we're holding today. If you take it at its at its core, there's something important there, right? The expression of the individuality of the person. That's also part of, paradoxically again, through the oneness, right? That message of oneness that we're going to get into Geula is dafka the way that everyone's going to get their individual expression. Because that oneness is, for example, you take the car, and the car is made up of all different parts. But each part has to work in order for that car to run properly and smoothly. So in order for that actus to take place, everybody's going to have to have exactly their individual expression is going to have to be there. Because it's that the combination of all the individual expression which is going to allow that actus to express the klal, right? Dafka through that individuality, which is again very specific and unique to Judaism. It's focused on both the yachid and the klal, individual and the klal. All right, it's enough for now.
Gender confusion.
Yeah.
How does that?
It's also part of the gender confusion. Is also part of the fact that we're getting to a point where there's not going to be gender really, because they're going to be mishtam shebekaserecha. Once you don't have the zohar and the nekeva having different, right? Once they're like two, which are really one, it says they're going to be using one keser. So like, it's like gender falls away. There's no. Real expression to it.
Crazy animal rights.
Huh?
Crazy animal.
Same thing. The animals are going to go up. The Ramchal says that the human being today, that after the Chet of Adam of the Marishon, the entire cosmos fell. So that we today are on the level, whatever this means, we today are on the level of the animals before Chet of Adam Marishon, and the animals fell further. So the animals are eventually going to be like us today, and we're going to be that much higher. And then go even higher than that. But so,
right.
So you see a beauty, you see a love for animals, and derech agav, in the Torah also there's an inyan to love every single bria, to love them, to have rachmanas on a leaf. When I see somebody rip off a leaf from a tree, if mamish bothers me, I tell them, if I see kids, I tell them, what are you ripping off a leaf? When you rip off, that's also a certain misa that you're bringing to the world. But that all becomes this sensitivity of understanding how every single prat in the Bria is one big picture of expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory in this world, that gives you the appreciation for everything. And it's true that, yeah, animal rights and all these kinds of things, these are very, very lofty and appropriate and correct ideals. The problem is that in a matzav where the world is going to put the animal on the same level as man, and the world is not holding there yet. By the way, of course, a beautiful thing on this as well, in the Hazagata on Shabbos, and it was reprinted, and it was printed also in what's called the Chazon HaTzimchanut. So then, he says, before Nazi Germany, right, showed itself, he said that the people that are going to, that love animals and put animals as if they're the same level of men, it's just going to make them lower their covet of men, because they're going to end up relating to the people only on the level of animals, and they're going to end up being the most cruel possible. This, he wrote this before Nazi Germany, yeah, and this is exactly what happened, right? The big animal lovers, and look at the insane genocide that they were, millions and millions, like, unfathomable. But again, at the core level, these things are awesome ideals. The problem is they're in Bnei Shmashas.
Yeah,
we're not holding there.
The same thing on what Rabbi Yaakov was just saying. Gabi had to react to the secular Zionists. Like back in Bismanum, 80 years, it like could well be, yeah, this is very right, but we're just not holding there.
We'll see. He's going to go further. We'll see. Okay.